KBOO Portland. Good morning at 7:59. Coming up, Joanne Hardesty hosts Voices from the Edge. It's your chance to rant about the election. She'll take your calls at 503-231-8187. Next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Aftermath, part of the Brown Paper series produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs November 28th at 7 p.m. at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. In Mary Burrell's 1919 one-act, John Thornton, a young black soldier who has served his country in World War I, comes home to rural South Carolina. His homecoming is disrupted when he learns that someone close to him has been lynched by a white mob. Again, that's Aftermath, produced by Triangle Productions, November 28th at 7 p.m. at The Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Fix-It Fair on Saturday, November 19th at 9:30 a.m. at Ron Russell Middle School in Portland. The Portland Fix-It Fair features exhibits and workshops from numerous community partners talking about issues such as water and energy savings, home and personal health, food and nutrition, community resources, recycling, and more. Childcare and lunch will be provided. Again, that's the Portland Fix-It Fair, Saturday, November 19th, from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Ron Russell Middle School, 3955 Southeast 112th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meeting in writing, please email monica@kboo.org.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. Are you still shell-shocked? Are you still trying to figure out what the heck happened on Tuesday night? I want to talk about a couple of bright lights in this otherwise doom and gloom election cycle. We had some wins. We had some wins both locally and nationally. And I want to start off by congratulating Choli Ulele, who unseated Steve Novak for Portland City Council. That is the first time in 24 years that a sitting city commissioner has been unseated by a non-money candidate. And so I am thrilled that Choli won, and look forward to working with her as now a second woman on the Portland City Council, which will definitely change the dynamics a little bit, and hopefully provide Amanda Fritz with some gender support on the City Council. In addition to that, what other big surprises? I think one of the big surprises, well, it wasn't a big surprise for me, that 97 failed. The $3 billion new tax on corporations of sales over $25 million. What was surprising is how drastically support dwindled for Measure 97, the more big corporations poured in. I think the total came to about $28 million that they spent to try to defeat 97. I hope that there will be some autopsies done on this campaign, because from the beginning, it appeared to be a very self-serving ballot measure that really didn't address, didn't have any vision about what Oregon's needed, wanted, and were planning to invest in for an additional $3 billion. So for me, I wasn't that surprised that that measure started losing support the moment organized opposition showed up. What were some of the big surprises for you? I think for me, one of the other good things out of this election cycle was we now have a much more diverse Oregon legislative body than we've had in the past. Four people of color were elected to the Oregon legislative body, which is huge since the Oregon, since the legislative body does not do an effective job of actually going out and recruiting people of color to run and serve in the legislative body. And so in spite of organized efforts, that was a big success from election night. Love to hear what you are grateful for. I certainly know what people are ungrateful for. But I'd like to know what worked for you this election season. Give me a call, 503-231-8187. I think it's really clear that the major political parties also need to do some autopsies, because neither of the parties, the major political parties, the Democrats or Republicans, appear to speak for the majority of the American people. And so this two-party system, it is time for us to do some assessment about how we change this system. And I'm not suggesting, I don't know of a third party yet that actually has the vision to create a tent that would be diverse enough to actually take on a two-party system. But what we've noticed over the last years is more and more and more voters are non-affiliated independent voters. And so clearly the parties don't speak to them. And so if political parties aren't speaking to people, but yet they have all the money when it comes to election cycles, we have to ask ourselves, how do we change that? How do we fix that? How do we prepare now for 2018? Because we can lick our wounds, but at the end of the day, 2018 is not that far off. And the question becomes, how do we fix this? And how do we fix it so that we're prepared and that we're being inclusive for the next generation, for the next election season, for the next time we start voting? And so that's one piece. For me, the other piece is, how do we build trust in election systems across the United States of America? When you looked at the map on election night, it was clear that the center of the United States of America has something in common. And what they have in common is a company called CrossCheck that actually supposedly cleans their voter files to make sure that people aren't duplicating, aren't voting in multiple states. No one that's been doing the autopsy of this election has even asked the question, did Donald Trump even win? Were all the votes counted? Did all the people who tried to vote, were they able to vote? How many provisional ballots were given out? Why were they given out? And have they been counted? So we just have this assumption that Trump won, but I don't share that assumption. I thought this election would be stolen. I still believe it was stolen. And I don't believe that we can trust an election system that does not have a paper trail and does not give you surety that your vote has been counted in the way that you intended. So we're going to go to the phone line. Good morning, George. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Good morning. What I feel very, very angry and frustrated, and I think the only way, the only thing to do is to take anger and frustration and channel it into positive activity.
Yes.
I have priorities. One is global warming.
Yes.
And the other is women's rights.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get very active with Bill McGibbons, 350.org, who channel that energy into that direction, and I'm going to get very active with Planned Parenthood and channel some money and energy in that direction. I think that's what we all have to do.
Absolutely.
We have an opportunity.
Yes.
Take the energy we have and really get out there and get active and do something positive.
Thank you so much. I absolutely agree with you. I think we're going to have to double down on the things we care about.
Absolutely. So pick your priorities and go to work.
That's my,
thanks, Joanne.
Thank you. I appreciate
you later, sweet lady. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You are right on the money. I so appreciate you. You're absolutely right. We've got to lick our wounds. But at the end of the day, we've got to do the autopsy, and then we've got to start building for 2018 because that's not that far away. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Corey. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. I woke up yesterday, and I guess the feeling I had was a sickening feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to also say I had steeled myself for this because I am not surprised. And I tell you why. I'm a black man who lives in America.
Right.
So I am not surprised that this happened.
Yes.
I'm not even really shocked. I think it's hard to stomach, but I'm not surprised because, and I forget his name, Van Jones, he stated that this was a white lash, and I agree with him. And I have lots of, I'm an all black man married to a white woman, a lot of white liberal friends, and they're disgusted. But I'm also trying to just wrap my brain around the fact that this happened. And I know we're talking about local stuff, but this happened. And not only did he win the presidency, he has the Senate and he has the Congress.
Yes.
So, and I have to say that I am sort of happy to be in, right now, I know Portland isn't perfect, but as a person of color, I am happy to be in Portland, Oregon right now because I have friends that live in Louisville, Kentucky. My sister is in Houston, Texas, very liberal city, but it's not Houston, it's the surrounding areas.
Yes.
And they're frightened because, and you know, my Latino friends, my Muslim friend, we were talking all during the night. He's like, am I going to have to leave here? He works at Intel.
Right.
I'm like, probably not, but, you know,
but
we don't
right.
know yet.
That's
so,
right.
So, finally, I have to also, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you said autopsy, there's going to be a lot of blame. I am looking directly at the DNC. I'm looking directly at Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm looking directly at these people because what the Republicans did, what that party did, is that they chose their candidate. And in a lot of ways, Hillary Clinton was chosen for Democrats.
Right.
If you look at what Bernie Sanders did, if you look at what happened in Nevada with Barbara Boxer, when they had a, you know, they took that away from him. I'm kind of, you know, when you do that to an electorate, when we say we want one thing and you give us something else and then tell us that we're supposed to accept that, the Republicans didn't do that. They, as orange and racist and misogynistic as he is, that's who they chose and that's who they went with. I feel for a lot of Democrats, we didn't choose her. I think she is a brilliant politician, a brilliant woman, but she wasn't chosen. She was sort of given to us. And they've been trying to give us Hillary Clinton since 2008.
Right.
And it's kind of shocking. And finally, to see that 53% of educated white women voted for Donald Trump.
Yes. Yes. And all the free passes he got, right? It's like, yes, you can be a racist, you can be a woman hater, you can be an abuser, and everybody had excuses for why that was okay with Donald Trump. But I appreciate your perspective because I think we must take a long-term perspective. And as black folks, we know that the day after election is never an easy day for black folks, right? Because no matter who won, we would still be in a position of fighting for our survival. And so with Hillary, there would have been the same fight, but at least the fight is clearer now. You know, we know exactly who's in the White House. We know who's going to control Congress. And we know that we've got to, if that's not what we want, we've got to work to change that.
And our message has to be clear. That's the thing. I still, and I went to Hillary's website, I still don't know what her message
Me was. Either. Me
we
either.
It has to have a
right.
clear message.
Right.
It has to be precise. It has to be right. a precision, calculated message. Because if we don't have that, this is going to happen again. There might be some blowback. I think, once you run all three chambers, people don't want that. I don't know. And the funny thing is, this was supposed to be a change election where she was going to come in. I mean, he has the Supreme Court now.
Right.
He basically, in some ways, he not only destroyed the Clintons, he destroyed the Bush legacy. But this is a kick in the gut, and it doesn't feel good. But guess what? Shake it off, you dust yourself off, and you fight.
That's absolutely true. Well, and the other thing is that we're talking about Trump as if he's connected to the Republican Party, and he isn't, right? He was their nominee, but that's a, talk about a loose cannon, right?
But they're going to fall in line with him.
The question is the question is who will be leading the country, right? And you've got someone who has no clue. Right. Even though he told us all that he knew more than the generals about where ISIS was and how to defeat ISIS. The reality is that we have a idiot as president and we have a Congress that's been unresponsive to the people. And so
I'm not afraid of him. He's a moron. I'm not afraid of him,
right.
but I am afraid of Secretary of State Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
I am. Afraid
yes.
Of,
yes.
Of Chris
yes.
Christie. I'm afraid of Newt Gingrich. These men aren't idiots.
I'm afraid of Newt Gingrich as Attorney General.
Yeah.
right,
they are idiots. They know exactly what
exactly,
they're doing.
Exactly,
right. These people in charge. Yeah, Trump's going to be a puppet for these men that, finally we get to go back.
That's
and
right.
finish what we started a lot of. That's the scary part. So I'll let you go, and I'll see you next week. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. 503-231-8187. How are we going to get out of this mess, and how do we move forward? Quite frankly, the Democratic Party is not speaking to the people they say they represent. Republican Party is not speaking to the people they say they represent. We don't have a third party that has enough of clout and diversity and inclusion to actually be able to capture people who are totally disgusted with our current political process. So where do we go from here? Back to the phone line. Good morning, David. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. My name is David Delk, and I just wanted to give you several things that I was liking about this election.
So, okay.
One of them is that I ran against Earl Blumenauer for Congress and on a specific program of opposing the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and I got 7% of the vote, 26,000 votes. So, for being someone who had no budget to run a campaign, except for getting my ballot statement in the voter's pamphlet,
right.
and spending almost no money on the campaign itself, I still got 26,000 votes, which I think is fantastic, and I'm very grateful to the voters for that. I'm hoping that voters will now follow up with phone calls to Earl Blumenauer pointing this out and saying that they oppose the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So if I may, I'll give Earl Blumenauer's phone number out.
Fine.
503-231-2300. And then beyond that, other things that I'm very happy about on the ballot was in both Ashland and in Corvallis were measures supporting affordable universal health care, and they both passed with 75% of the vote.
Hmm.
So that is very strongly a voice in favor of an actual health system that is not based on insurance, but
right.
is actually based on providing health care for everybody. So those are fantastic results. The other one, also from Benton County, is 54% of the voters there approved of ranked choice voting, so getting rid of the so-called spoiler effect and allowing voters to rank their choices in terms of their preference.
In Benton County, really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. So this is first time in Oregon that we've had any movement on this particular issue. And if you really,
I was going to say, yeah, 20 years we've been talking about that.
Yeah. I worked 10 years ago for, I don't know, close to a dozen years with the legislature trying to get something. We never got any movement on it. And here in Benton County, we've got 54% of the voters saying yes. So this is fantastic. And then you're mentioning Chloe Udaly win for the city council. Big deal. I mean, that
big
is,
deal.
That
yes.
Fantastic. So that's my take on it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate and thank you for running. I mean, I know what a job it is for someone to put themselves out there. And I have to say, I'm disappointed that we keep sending the same congressional delegation back to Congress because they're not doing much. And it's frustrating to see the same people get reelected over and over and over again. But thank you for running. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Good, thank you.
Thank you. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. So it's nice to hear that Ashland and Corvallis passed a universal health care measure. I want to look at that and find out just how that works when in a state that is now under Obamacare. But that does sound good. Ranked choice in voting, need to check that out. Benton County is not the place I'd expect that to happen, but hey, you heard it here first. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. I have a very quick comment, and I want to go back to what you were saying about the election being stolen. I agree with you, and I have a very small experience to share. I have a family member who lives in New Jersey. She went to vote on Tuesday. Her name was not on the list.
Ah.
She voted 6 months ago in the primary election.
Right.
What happened? So I am looking forward to these kinds of stories coming forward and more investigation being done into how many people were not able to vote, were prevented from voting, were right. lied to, et cetera.
Right. Me and too. So, I'm amazed that people just have just, oh, well, Trump won. Well, did he really? I mean, based on
well,
what?
Well, we know Hillary got the popular vote, so there's a discussion, too, about the Electoral College.
Right.
Anyway, I'll take comments and thoughts on that offline. Thank you
so much. Appreciate your call. I think you've raised some really good points, and I think that we must ask these hard questions because I don't want to assume that this was a fair one person, one vote election process.
I agree. I do not think we can assume that.
No, not
at all.
But it's amazing how many news outlets have just already assumed that. And then I guess we have to also ask the questions. The reason that the media doesn't do more of a investigative reporting job during elections is because it's all about the enormous amount of money they make by just sitting on the sideline and letting
watching
people
the show. And
letting people buy the dueling ads. Right. Because if you look at profits, the TV stations and the radio stations make a small fortune every election cycle. And that has definitely impacted their ability to do any critical analysis of what's taking place.
There was none. They gave Trump a full platform to do whatever he wanted.
For the first year, anything that came out of his mouth was front page news and top of the news hour story. So, but they'll have a lot to write about over the next 4 years.
Anyway, thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Tell me what's the autopsy? How do we prepare for 2018? And what are the glimmers of hope that you've seen from this election cycle? I can tell you that there are now 4 women of color serving in the U.S. Senate. There was only one prior to this election season. We have Marcy Hirono, a Japanese-American from Hawaii. We've got Tammy Duckworth out of Illinois. And we have California Attorney General Kamala Harris. And all three are now U.S. Senator-elects. three more women of color from 1 to 3. That's a huge improvement in spite of the Republican onslaught. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Francis. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning. The media, I believe, as you were just saying, has quite a role in this, the
yes.
corporate media. And they promote conflict, I've noticed. That's what they do.
Yes.
Like this morning, the president-elect is meeting with President Obama, and they're already talking about how can President Obama even look at him? How is he going to be able to even talk to him after all the things he said? And, da, 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 da. And they're trying to continue the conflict.
Yes.
And, of course, President Obama is going to be the gracious man that he is.
That he always has been, right?
And he, yes, and he will speak, has already spoken to the country about uniting. And to me, that's a positive thing right there. But I agree that the election was stolen, and it was stolen a long time ago before the general election.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at what happened with Bernie Sanders in Nevada and California and the votes that were apparently just lost, this is the people that are protesting now this Trump presidency,
right.
And the people who voted for him actually have a whole lot in common. They have been dismissed mm-hmm. by the elite,
yes.
the political elite, and those who have a lot of money. And at some point, I'm hoping that they will realize, you know, and I hope it doesn't take a whole lot of nonsense from the new president in order for them to realize that they have so much more in common than they do not. But one good thing out of this election that's a bright spot is that in Maine, they voted to have ranking voting to where you can make your first, second, and third choice.
Right.
So that now if you have a third-party candidate that you really like and you want to vote for them, you don't have to be feared into voting for somebody else. You can vote for who you want, and then you make your second and third choices. And if no one gets the majority at the first place, then the last person gives their second place vote to the first place, and it continues from there, so that we'll never have to
vote for the lesser of evils,
that we're bad people because we want someone else other than the one that's being promoted to us.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard the previous caller, but apparently Benton County in Oregon passed
yes.
a ranked choice voice voting as well.
So that's a good thing to see.
Right. Well, especially in a small Oregon county. So we have to do some investigating of that and see whether or not that's going to help shift
right.
how people vote in Oregon. So you're right. I mean, there are some bright spots. But at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that the political parties, as they currently exist, don't work for the people that they
right.
supposedly work for. And I don't know who the Democratic Party was targeting for this election. It was unclear who their demographic groups were that they were targeting. Because,
well, it certainly wasn't. What were they called? The Despicables?
Oh, the Despicables, right.
Right. That was the craziest, stupidest thing I ever heard anybody say. And it wasn't the super predators. You know, the political elite need to get wise. You know, it isn't all about their money and who's running the best campaign. It's about the people and what they want.
Well, and we may have forgotten because it's been a while, but Obama would have never been president had he depended on a Democratic apparatus to get him
right.
elected. And so
right.
we have to acknowledge that the Democratic system is broken, and it has been broken for a very long time.
And we can fix it.
Well, quite frankly, I mean, I don't know why people of color stick with a party that doesn't represent them, right? I'm just going to say that. I know why, because there's nowhere else to go at the moment, right? That's why, right? So.
Or maybe we've got ourselves a little lamb in wolf's clothing right now. We'll see what he does.
Well, I mean, I think one of the most interesting things that I've heard from some of the analysis so far is how many appearing intelligent, white, well-off, middle-class men thought this was a good choice for the country, right? I mean, the reality is that there are a lot, and it wasn't until the Bundy trial that I actually started thinking that a Trump presidency was possible.
Yeah.
Right? When that verdict came.
And there's another bright spot, which I don't know if it's bright or not, because we have no clue as to what he's going to do. Trump did speak against these regime change wars that are happening all over the country.
The what?
And the regime changes where we just go in and help some handful of insurgents overthrow a government.
Right.
And he didn't appreciate that, and he doesn't think that's a good idea, and it's a waste of resources. So, you know, that's just a teeny tiny bright spot there, that he does not believe in going around the world playing
cop,
regime changer.
Well, the other thing that he talks about is like breaking the free trade agreements, which is kind of hysterical, because if that's not a Democratic plank, I don't know what is, right? However, who would believe someone who has done business the way he has his entire life
really thinks that
he would be concerned about workers' rights? So thank you very much. See you Saturday. See you Saturday at the visual. Have a great
excellent.
Thank you. Have a great day. Saturday is the 12th, and as always, on the 12th of the month, the Keep Notice Vigil happens at Northeast 6 and Halsey. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Deanna. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for this program. So necessary, and I agree with, you know, all the things you've been saying, and I guess I have a bright hope and a dismal hope.
Let's do dismal first so that we can end on a high note.
I guess what I'm thinking is a lot of attention, maybe too much attention paid to Trump. The big problem I see are the people he's bringing on board with him, as someone pointed out earlier. However, we do have something to focus on, and I wanted to make everybody who's listening aware of an organization called Brand New Congress. And these are people who are working day and night and soliciting more volunteers to nominate regular people, particularly people of color, transgender people, all kinds of people, to really and truly represent the people and nominate these people, whether they think or not they want to do something like
that.
So watch out. But anyway, to think about community leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They can be your dentist, your teacher, your friend down the street, people who have been somewhat have shown that they are giving. They're people of service and people who, you know, are leaders in their community at whatever level, in whatever way, so long as, of course, they agree with being inclusive of everybody and championing the rights of all people. So you write into Brand New Congress. They have a form to fill out, and they, you know, explain all the parameters of who and what they're looking for. And they are very well aware that each district has a particular constituency, right? So they're saying, don't propose a white person in a
predominantly black district.
Predominantly black neighborhood, right?
Duh.
Wait, listen to this, though. They also say, and don't propose somebody who's a Democrat in a Republican area.
Right.
We will find people across
party lines.
Yes. Now, here's the exciting thing that I linked this up with everything I've been hearing from Ralph Nader, and I got myself right down to Powell yesterday and plunked down my $13.95 for his book, Breaking Through Power. And his whole point is that, yes, there is more in common, as somebody was saying earlier, across these lines, and we do have to pay attention to the fact that half of the people who voted, maybe like you said, half of the people who voted did vote for this horrific thing, actually, that I think is coming up. But those people could be persuaded if there was had been some better alternative, right?
Right.
Not Hillary
right.
Clinton and the same old thing.
Right.
So brand new Congress. And I say, let's get Ralph's book and read it. He really makes sense. He says it takes only 1% of the entire population, you know, working together to change this through being, you know, watchdogs on what's going on and so forth and so on. Now, this is not to say we don't have to always continue to work through Black Lives Matter, Don't Shoot Portland, Voz Hispana, Cambio Comunitaria, and all of the other things that we're doing. We just got to ramp it up. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, we definitely need new strategies, new tactics, new ways to engage and involve people in a much more meaningful way. So I am very grateful of any effort that's actually trying to bring people together.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I'm not so stuck in party affiliation as I am about the people and what they stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Coley was a great example of a candidate who was a regular person, bookstore owner, parent, and someone who was really struggling with how they were going to pay their rent with their disabled child, which was a story that really resonated with voters.
Yeah.
And so that's what, I mean, and voters, quite frankly, I know this from my days as a legislator, even though it was a bazillion years ago, that people want people who are real, that they can relate to. And I think Coley showed that she was one of those kind of people. Now, but we know that she's going to need our help. She's going to need a lot of support in order to be an effective city council member. But now's the time to start. 2018
Absolutely.
Is just so close that we cannot afford to waste a day. So glad to hear that there's another effort happening. I hope that we don't have the same old people creating these new things, right? I think we need new energy, new blood, new vision. And I hope that that this brand new Congress is the beginning of that. But quite frankly, I'm really tired of the same old folks thinking that they should be in charge because they know how the system works. And,
me too. Yeah. And you know something, Joanne? They point out exactly on there, please, no people who have ever been in politics before.
Ah, very good.
I think you should check them out. I think it sounds really good.
Then I wouldn't qualify because I've been in politics before.
You can't go.
Yeah, right.
You know 60 people who would be qualified.
This is very true.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I am feeling much more optimistic now than I did when I sat down here 30-plus minutes ago. And so I hope you are as well. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Roxanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I am feeling better too, Joanne.
Good, good.
Yeah. You know, I was a Steinbrock voter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was hoping she'd get her 5%.
Mm-hmm. Did she?
She didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have mattered if all of Jill's votes went to Hillary. Hillary still would have lost.
Right.
So there's no blame there.
Well, and I think we have to, like, not blame people for vote. I'm a child of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame anybody that votes. It's the ones that don't vote that I'm all over. So, as long as you vote, I'm good. You and I are good.
So, you know, I knew there was going to be disappointment there.
Right.
And I had long apologized to my daughter for it. Which she's 18, and I'm white, and she's half white, half black. And we've been here about going on 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're from the Midwest. And we never really had problems with friending people in the Midwest.
Right.
Well, maybe it's because we're in the Kansas City area. But since coming here, we've tried, you know, group after group after group. We like the social groups, like the meetups.
Mm-hmm.
And we just aren't
not finding it.
Filling, you know, we feel left out. They're either all white. And if I find a black group, I'm like, oh, yay, maybe they'll let us in. And they don't want us in. And the white people just kind of stare at us and don't really have a conversation with us.
You need to come to an NAACP meeting.
I do.
You do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you know, it's just because I'm the president, I don't want to, you know. But I can tell you that it's a place that welcomes everybody.
I'm going to do that. And this is going to get better because this is the best part.
Yes.
I've been talking. She's 18.
Okay.
And she thinks this is a good idea, too.
Yes.
I'm going to start a meetup. So I got to, you know, I need to take all time to get it straightened out how I want it. But, you know, it's going to be for diverse families and anybody else. You know, you don't have to be in a diverse family. And so I'm going to get that going. It's not going to leave anybody out. Oh, shoot, what else was I going to say? It just left me. Oh, I don't want to waste time trying to get my...
It's all good. But let me invite you and your daughter. Definitely would love to have an 18-year-old showing up on a regular basis. We meet at the Red Cross the fourth Saturday of the month. Next meeting's the 26th, from noon to 2.
Noon to 2.
Yep.
Thank you for the invite.
You are very welcome. And what you will find is a very diverse, diverse as in age, race, gender, everything. It's one of my most favorite places to go, and I just happen to be the president, but it's because people come and they want to be involved and they want to work with a multiracial group of folks to make our city better.
You know, my last thought just came back. You know, Trump, his wife is, you know, she is American now.
Right.
But, you know.
But she's, right, she's an immigrant too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yes.
So, hey.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're going to be challenged a lot in the next upcoming years, but I hope what we're doing is building communities of support where we will have each other's back, because that's what's going to get us through the next 2 years until the next election and until we can figure out whether or not we have a election system that we can trust.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Joanne. I'm going to get off the line now.
Thank you. I so appreciate your call. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day.
Bye.
See you on the 26th. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, John. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Program. I called 2 or 3 months ago because I just read a book called Code Red, and I told you about it.
Oh, yes.
I'm calling to remind KBOO listeners this book, I think, predicted what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
That Republicans have the ability to suppress the vote and steal the vote, and they do it on occasion when the election is close like this.
Yes.
And so I heard about this book by listening to KBOO. The author was on one of your book show programs, and
right.
I can't remember which one, and it's a brand-new book. I called – I'm in Washington State. I called Clark Library System, and they special ordered it for me. It's an alternative publication.
Ah, nice.
And so I was fun to read it, and the book is just as well written as the author was spoken, so I highly recommend you, maybe you, Joanne, to, I can't remember the author's name.
That's okay, I'm looking it up as we speak.
It's called Code Red, so this is about electronic election stealing, and get him on your show. He's just as, he may not be as funny as
Greg Palast.
Greg Palast, but he's very eloquent.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much. I will check that out. And
Canada has done. Go to a paper ballot and count it by hand and not be so quick to counter election.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest struggle is just this assumption that somehow it was fair and just, so he won fair and square, and I don't believe that.
No. Nope.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye. Next. Good morning, Harry. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Greetings, Joanne, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to talk about what Trump did was he did a contract with America. And there's 2 points I like to bring up. The first one he mentioned was he wanted to rescind federal funding for all sanctuary cities. And Portland and Multnomah County
is one of those, right?
Yes. And most people don't realize that we are a sanctuary city.
Right.
So this is going to come up pretty soon on what are we going to do.
Right.
And the next one is Trump believes in term limits. And he mentioned that that's in his thing also. But the head of the Senate said it's not going to even come up.
Hmm.
And so, but I have a solution to that, and that is it's called the No Incumbent Movement, which means you don't vote for incumbents. For the next 10 years or two election cycles, don't vote for incumbents at all. The Republicans are upset about their politicians. The Democrats are upset about their politicians, and we need some new blood in.
Yes.
And the only way to do it is don't vote for incumbents. Vote for the other guy. I know it's going to take discipline, and you might not like the choice of, you know,
the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy.
A gal.
But you also have to do it. You have to do it in your primary
and
in your general election. Do not vote for an incumbent.
Well, what if you actually have a good incumbent?
It's time for new blood. How else are we going to clean out a government and both house? Both parties and the government is that's the only way to do it. I know it's going to take discipline, but that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if there are definitely, we definitely have way too many incumbents that get reelected just based on name recognition. There's no question about that. I'm just not a big fan of just tossing everybody out. I think that we have to weigh whether or not people have been effective. And if they are effective, we should keep them. And if they haven't been, they should go. And we should vote them out. But I don't support just a blanket, all incumbents have to go. Because there actually are some good ones.
They used to call it throw the bums out.
Right.
If we do it this way, that's the only way that we can ensure the future of a clean government and both parties. And
well,
it'll shake up both parties.
The only way that would happen is if we actually had, if we took money out of the political system. We could never, ever do that without taking the money out. And so I think that's the first thing we got to work on is getting the rich fat cats from all over the globe to stop funding our election system.
Yeah. But this way, not voting for incumbents, we don't have to have an apparatus or who's in charge or anything else. The Republicans will do it. The Democrats will do it. And after maybe a 16-year period, we can completely clean out government.
Okay. Well, thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye. We're going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne. How are you?
I'm good. How about you? I'm feeling better now. I've been talking to smart Portlanders, so I'm feeling a lot better.
Well, I wanted to share with you something that came up at my Toastmasters club this morning.
Okay.
I was asked, what's the upside of Trump's election?
Right.
And I had to come up with something. I have three things.
Yeah, right?
I have three things. First is the most challenging is, you know, consider the racists and how disappointed they were 8 years ago. This was the worst possible thing that could have happened.
Yes.
You know, and yet they survived 8 years.
Right. Right.
Well, this is the worst case scenario. And if you've ever done that in your life, saying, well, what's the worst that can happen? Well, follow that through. It happened.
Right.
Okay. And we're still here. We're still alive. No, that's good. The second thing is I think maybe transparency in government should improve. This is a guy who's wanted attention his whole life.
Right.
And except for his willingness to disclose his tax returns, you know, now he's got the attention. Now he's going to be under a microscope and in the fishbowl. So that's two. I think, you know, transparency would be advanced under this administration versus Clinton because she was so evasive in her, you know, throughout the primary and
right.
That's her practice. I don't think he has the skill to be evasive. I think he's too transparent. But that's the second upside, if we can look at it that way. And then third, you know, America internationally has been a bully. We've been a bully around the world.
Yes.
And yet we've projected this false humility. Even Obama has been this projection of false humility. Now we have a bully.
Right.
So the words match the music. And and you know, if again I'm not happy, this is you know, I was more depressed Tuesday than Wednesday. Wednesday, you know, it happened. That's it. I survived. The Tuesday was the worst. It was, you know, that was, oh my God, what if it happened? Well, now it happened and I'm still here. We're still here. We're still standing. You know, those are three upsides to consider, you know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think you're absolutely right. I told an earlier caller that if you're African-American, you know, it's like we don't, you have to take the long-term view, because every election cycle, regardless of who wins, we still have to fight for equality, fight for the things that we care about. So, you know, it's always going to be that way. And like you, I remember when Bush Jr. was first elected, I thought, oh my God, this is the worst thing that's ever, ever happened to this country. And then he was elected again. And I thought, oh, well, it couldn't get any worse than that. And now here we are with the on the horizon, a Trump presidency. And I think what it does, quite frankly, is it should galvanize the left into being much more thoughtful about how they proceed forward. And unfortunately, what that means to me is that the Democratic Party leadership has to radically change, because the people that have been in charge are incompetent at actually engaging the populace in a way that makes sense. And so the good news is that we got 2 years to fix what's broken, and then we'll be ready for battle once again.
Great. Thanks. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. I appreciate your thoughts, and I'm glad that I'm also trying to do the same thing. What's the positive? What's the positives? How do we rebuild? How do we move forward? Thank you so much. Have a good day. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Janet. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Joanne. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm feeling so much better as well.
Me too. I'm getting better. The more the day goes, the better I'm getting.
Yeah, and that's why I'm calling you, because you had a previous caller that was talking about brand new Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And then our last caller was talking about the positives that we can take from, you know, this shocking event
right. That
has happened to us. And what I want to say is that this election season, including the primary season, and the following that Bernie Sanders awoke was a huge movement in this country. And we do have right now a wonderful opportunity to come together and to build a coalition from the ground up. And so that will change the makeup of Congress in 2018.
Now, see, I hope, yes, I'm with you. I hope that that's so.
And so in order to do that, I just wanted to share that there is a lot of left-leaning progressive folks getting involved and getting active. And one way we can do that is by becoming precinct committee persons, which is an easy thing to do. Doesn't take a big, huge time commitment, where you can become a PCP, a precinct committee person, with your county Democratic party, and you can vote to get those new leaders in that you're talking about, Joanne.
So, yeah, you know, I've done that in the past, but I think that the Democratic Party has some fundamental fundamental changes that have to be made. The Democratic Party today is not an inclusive, welcoming space.
Tell me about it. I know all about
right?
it.
So I would not be encouraging people to become PCPs into an organization that is very staunch and very set in their ways, not inclusive, not engaging, having no interest in interests outside of their own. And so until that changes, I would not be encouraging people to do that.
Well, I can say that I have done that, and I've done that in Clackamas County.
Mm.
And I can tell you that the makeup of the party has changed because of it. I don't know, a friend of mine convinced me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And because the structure is already there.
Right, right.
And,
oh, yeah.
We need to do something quickly.
See, but so, I don't know. I mean, this structure has not ever been responsive to communities of color. It has not been responsive to immigrants. I mean, what Democrats do is they wait till 30 days before the election and then they call the black people that they know. They don't.
Yeah.
It's not an inclusive organization. So it's not one that I would be telling people that that's where they should put their energy. I would tell them they should put their energy in developing new leaders. I would tell them that we need people outside of the party structures to run and serve in public office. But until the party changes, I can't in good conscience tell people that that's a place for people to go and put their energy. You could get lost in that apparatus if you don't have a good sense of self.
That may be, and I think that sense of self is what we need to be building across party lines. And we can go to different resources online, like Dem Enter or Dem Exit.
Right.
We could go to, in Clackamas County, I know we have Progressive Clackamas County, which is a multi, it's all-inclusive organization, to find out where we can go in our communities to help build that community.
So that's
that coalition.
I think that's great. That's great advice, that people should be looking for places that are inclusive in their communities where they can start building relationships, start building leadership, start preparing for the next election. Totally with you on that. I just know that both parties don't reflect my viewpoint. So if both of the major parties don't, then I have to find another place to put my energy.
Well, I voted green at the top of the ticket and voted for every progressive I could down ticket, including Shanti Llewellyn with the Working Families Party. So I think that we need to build across party lines to build a coalition. And we don't have a lot of time to do that. So,
no, we don't. 2018 to be here quick. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a great day. And so what's coming up today on KBOO at 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch and takes your calls to discuss the presidential election and barriers preventing a outbreak of democracy in the U.S. That's going to be an interesting conversation. At 10 is Eric Cascadia with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoint with host David Bernstein is a special post-election edition with award-winning filmmaker, columnist, and author John Pilger. At 11 on Between the Covers, Dan Johnson sits down with author Buzz Bernard to discuss his latest thriller, Cascadia, a novel that imagines the effects of a major earthquake and tsunami in Oregon. At 11:30, Southwest Consor hosts Words and Pictures, conversations with pioneering animators and comic artists. We want to thank you, KBOO, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can go online at kbo.fm and click on donate and become a member that way. I think I can squeak one more call in. Hello, Blake. You got 30 seconds or less to get your statement in.
Oh, hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I just kind of wanted to follow up on what you were kind of referring to earlier. And basically it boils down to what lessons can be learned from this. And,
yes.
And to me, I think it's pretty obvious. If you look in the mirror, the Democrats ran the wrong candidate.
In the wrong race.
Yeah.
Right, right. Because I don't know who they spoke to.
Well, if they would have co-opted Jill Stein or not, dump Bernie Sanders over the side of the boat, we wouldn't be having this conversation. If Bernie Sanders would have ran against Trump, we'd be in a different position.
Well, I don't know if that is so. I mean, I don't know if that's so, but I appreciate your perspective. And I am out of time, so we're going to have to leave it on that note.
We get, okay, thank you.
We'll talk about Bernie another day, okay?
Thank you
so much for your call. I just want to remind you that Greg Palast was here just a little while ago showing his new film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. I encourage you to find the book or the video because that will tell you what happened. This has been Joanne Hardesty. It's been my pleasure to be here with you. See you next week, same time, same place, same station. Thank you, John. See you next week.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
KBOO, good morning. It is 8:59. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, and she'll take your calls to discuss the presidential election and the barriers preventing an outbreak of democracy in the United States. Press Watch next on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Tuesday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Community Advisory Board will meet on Tuesday, November 15th at 5:30 p.m.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.